Skeptic's Guide to Conspiracy, a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to the examination of conspiracy theory, conspiracy fact, and those who promote these theories. I will be your host, Mike Bowler, as I examine a conspiracy theory, applying critical thinking and skepticism to better understand and seek out the truth behind conspiracy theories. So for this episode, I'm going to do another hodgepodge episode. There's been a couple interesting stories that had popped up on my radar, and I thought I'd relay them onto you. So for the first story, this comes from the Martha Vineyard Gazette, Vineyard Gazette, Electrical Pollution Talk Wednesday. Rebecca Brown stands on a piece of tin foil at the end of every day, feet carefully spaced apart, and lets the electricity drain from her body. Standing on tin foil at the end of the day is huge because our bodies act as our capacitors. The more electricity you're exposed to, the more you store. And standing on tin foil gets it out, she said. A minute every day with your feet not touching is great. Ms. Brown is the president of Safe Space Institute, a electrical pollution consulting firm. Standing on tin foil, as odd as it may seem to some, is one quick fix to minimizing exposure to electrical pollution, she said. Ms. Brown does home and health consultations to examine electrical outputs. The real question is, to what degree do these unnecessary stressors decrease or hinder people from realizing their full potential, she says. And, okay, Ms. Brown is a certified wellness coach, biological farm consultant, and certified electrical pollution technician with the electrical engineer Dave Stetzer of Stetzer Electric. Mr. Stetzer will speak at Martha Vineyard Agricultural Hall on Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. about minimizing exposure to electrical pollution. Now, Mr. Stetzer came on my radar as he has been pretty working actively with a Dr. Magda Havis, who has been in Canada, trying to eliminate Wi-Fi from schools, homes, businesses, pretty much based on nothing. Why this is an exactly conspiracy, but it kind of fits into some of the other, kind of fits in with some of the globalists. It's all part of the, trying to give us cancer, you know, the cancer diseases. Havis seems to think that, electrical fields will cause cancers, diabetes, everything that's wrong with us can be attributed to exposure to Wi-Fi and electrical pollution. Stetzer markets a device that you can plug into the wall, which supposedly eliminates these magnetic fields, harmonic radiation, all that, as he makes the claim. And being an electrical designer, working with the electrical engineering and power distribution, I was able to find the patent on Mr. Stetzer's filter and found that what he markets is not a filter. Apparently what this filter is, it looks to me as in the electrical business is known as a power factor corrector. Now, when you have inductive loads like motors, fluorescent lights, and such, what you have is a lot of inductance on the line, which actually creates makes the electrical system kind of inefficient, which means that the power company has to make adjustments. Now, for in an industrial situation, either the industrial user has to improve its power factor, or the utility will do that and add a surcharge. And of course, you're dealing with motors of, 10, 20 horsepower up to a few thousand horsepower. Whereas in your home, your air conditioners, your refrigerators are probably under between maybe at no, probably no more than 2 horsepower. So the need for power factor correction is not needed in the home, but because there's inductance, you can actually see it. It's so minor that it doesn't affect, has no real effect on anything. Of course, Setzer knows that, that there is this condition, and apparently he markets a meter and a bunch of these modules you can plug in that's supposed to eliminate it. And I don't know much about the meter. He doesn't have any, schematics on this particular meter. It sounds like an e-meter like the Scientologists have. But I did see, and I looked in, I found the patent on the filters. The filters are definitely adding capacitance to offset the inductance. So, and it looks like from his description of how that everything's working, you want to get everything to zero, which would make sense because the power factor, which is usually a percentage, you want to get that percentage down to zero, and then you're at no power factor, or unity power factor as it's referred to in the business. So for $30 a pop plus $129 for the meter, $30 a pop, I did a rough calculation. I did a kind of a standard house, a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, your standard living room, dining room, family room, the basement, a garage, kitchen. And I come up with roughly about 36 to 40 outlets will be in a spec home. That is, if it's built to just National Electric Code standard, minimum standards, which means at $30 a pop for these filters, you will spend anywhere from $1,200 to $1,350. That includes the filters, because you have to put one on every outlet. And then, of course, buying the meter to verify that everything's working correctly. So spending that kind of money for something that doesn't work, doesn't do anything, this guy's got a pretty good racket going. And Setzer has apparently been working hand-in-hand with Magda Havas and did what they called a study. Actually, having read the studies, and I should be able to post those here in the show notes at some point. These don't really read like scientific studies. They went into a school, they put these filters in, people's headaches went away, people felt better. They called it a success. Well, nowhere in the document said that there was any type of blinding or double blinding. These papers supposedly published, but apparently I can't find where these actually been published or even peer reviewed. So I'm assuming they were rejected as from a scientific journal and but still being used as evidence of efficacy. So this is why I do the conspiracy show. And this is why, we should be concerned. Like I said, these filters, they do absolutely nothing. Actually, the filters have, with the capacitors, there's even a little inductor. So it's actually doing opposite of what he's saying it does, supposedly trying to eliminate magnetic fields by creating a magnetic field. That's what an inductor does. So pretty much, I think this is a pretty decent, evidence of a scam. Havas, I've been trying to figure out because she seems to be collaborating with this Setzer guy, but they don't seem to be collaborating, if that makes any sense. Apparently she's worked with him, or he's worked with her, and trying to do something with, trying to peddle the idea that electromagnetic fields, Wi-Fi and all that kind of stuff is bad for you. And basically there's no evidence of this. So that's the first story. Then my buddy Alex Jones comes along, and apparently World War III has started already, and we were just too busy watching the Zimmerman trial to notice. I'm looking out my window. I don't see any bombs falling here in Detroit. Apparently this happened over the weekend, so I was in Chicago. So again, Chicago's still standing. I am not sure where this comes from, but apparently, yeah, World War III is on, and of course, Alex Jones was right about it, about predicting it. I'm sure it has something to do with the Syria situation. But again, where he gets this stuff, why he believes what he believes, hey, your guesses are good as mine. So feel free to comment on this. And for a final story, this happened on Monday, July 22nd. Secrets of the Right, Selling Garbage to Your Fans. And this is from Salon Online. And I won't go through the whole article. I'll have a link to it on my show notes. But basically, one of the common tactics, or I don't know what you'd call it. It is definitely advertising and trying to focus advertising to your audience. So guys like Alex Jones and Glenn Beck have had companies that buy and sell gold. When they talk about conspiracies, they usually the meltdown of the economy comes into play. So they say have a part of your portfolio in gold, because paper money becomes worthless when the government collapses. So the only tradable currency will be gold and silver. So many of these guys will then, since that's what they're pitching, that opens up, I guess, opens the door for gold dealers to advertise, or at least now you got a focused audience that are people are interested in gold investments. And now, on one hand, investing in gold isn't a bad thing. You just got to do it right, do it smartly. But thanks to guys like Jones and Glenn Beck, have kind of overstepped their bounds here a little bit. I was surprised that Glenn Beck is apparently in partnership with Goldline International, which also enjoys endorsements from Mark Levin and, until recently, Sean Hannity and others. Beck cut a tearful promotional videos for the company, hawks them passionately on his radio and TV programs, and even designed a coin for the company this year. It reads, "Mind Your Business" on the front. But it turns out the company's business model is built on systematically swindling its mostly elderly clientele by talking or tricking them into buying overpriced coins or just sending them different products than they bought. Prosecutors in California alleged, leading the company to settle for $4.5 million in refunds to its customers. And apparently, an almost similar situation, though I don't think any legal action had come about. Alex Jones and his hawking of Midas Gold. Now, Midas Gold was owned by Ted Anderson, who was the owner of GCN, which is the network that carries Alex Jones and a few other conspiracy and maybe not so much conspiracy programming. But Anderson had been under fire for not overpricing, but he had basically, they were selling gold when it was at its highest price, and then people realized the price goes down on gold, so they're basically stuck. I believe at the height, I'm going to say, I don't have the actual numbers here, but I think gold actually reached about a high of 2,000 an ounce. I think it's now down to about 1,800, maybe 1,500 now. So a lot of people who had bought in at 2,000 are now stuck with gold that's not worth maybe a quarter or two-thirds of what it was worth when they bought it, which, of course, made a lot of people unhappy, and some people have got their money back on that, but apparently a lot of people are got screwed on that deal. And this is a typical tactic of conspiracy people. They hype gold as being to protect your, protect your assets, which is a true statement. Many of the institutional stock and, traders will actually move their money into gold when a recession starts kicking in. It's a wealth preservation tactic. When their stocks start dropping, you sell your stocks, move them over to gold. Gold is relatively stable. The price will go up. When the price gets up to a fairly high price, you pull out. Then they will switch over to bonds for a while until the stock market then finally recovers, and then they'll start jumping back into the stock market. This is the basic cycle of how investors, these are the big time investors, guys that do this day in and day out, not us little guys. We wouldn't know about this until it was already too late. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And again, this is why I do a conspiracy show, because people are being ripped off by those who promote these conspiracies. Some guys are kind of fairly honest. They would rather just sell you a book and maybe some videos, but here they're literally taking their audiences to the cleaners. And in Glenn Beck's case, $4.5 million worth. So that's not chump change, folks. And that's what these guys are in it for.
I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion, and the international communist conspiracy to sap and impurify all of our precious bodily fluids.
And for some email I've gotten, Richard K. He writes he likes the show. He really liked the Beatles episode I did. He was hoping I would cover more on John Lennon and the assassination, and I thought about adding that in, but I'd like to try to save that for maybe a future episode. I wanted to kind of do something about pop stars in general. I'd like to do something on Elvis, Marilyn Monroe, Jim Morrison of the Doors, Janis Joplin, and John Lennon, because they've all, in one way or another, there's like a conspiracy surrounding their lives. So I thought maybe to give John Lennon a part in that one, and his after the Beatles, when he was in, because this was his assassination was when he was in his solo career, in effect. And then I've been having a running discussion with Troy S. He seems to like the podcast, but there's been some issues, and I will admit there certainly has been a conspiracy. Doing a conspiracy show it's not that easy. And I'm going to actually write a blog post, so it'd be kind of permanent. So if you did have for future reference, I can point you to try to figure out some way to make it as a permanent upfront type post. Because one of the issues I keep running into when I'm doing the historical, because that's the idea. I'm trying to do this podcast from a historical standpoint. I mean, there's plenty of scientific based conspiracies, and one of the niceties of scientific conspiracies is that you actually have evidence, scientific evidence, to refute the claims being made by, Stuart Robbins of the Exposing Pseudo-Astronomy podcast has clearly demonstrated many of the moon hoax, moon landing hoax conspiracy, many of the claims that were made, things like film being destroyed as it goes out, as it went to the moon because of radiation exposure, where, in fact, that would never have happened, and it actually gives you a good, a scientific reason for it. But when dealing with history, I don't have the luxury of being able to quantify, if that's a good term, because we're really dealing with human interreactions. Things like, with the Pearl Harbor conspiracy, is it a conspiracy or it isn't a conspiracy? It's kind of a question because were people working towards some type of nefarious end, get us involved in a war? Actually, in the next episode, I'm actually going to cover one of these. Actually, it does involve the Pearl Harbor conspiracy and the Soviet Union's involvement with the attack on Pearl Harbor. So, but when we're dealing with individuals, individual thought, biases, you know, you name it, it makes it kind of tough to kind of pick it apart, trying to get a really good grasp of. In some cases, I'm having to make some assumptions that one of the questions have been, you know, why didn't the FAA get the fighters to shoot down the airplanes? Well, you're dealing with a human reaction, and they were not expecting or didn't even realize what was going on until it was over. So, you know, there's that human factor involved that kind of makes it a little bit tougher to do a history-based conspiracy show. I mean, it opens up a lot of extra subjects because many of these things are not science-based. Again, I refer to the Pearl Harbor conspiracies. This was all people interacting with each other to try to avert a war. Unfortunately, they blundered into a war. And that's pretty much my feelings on what happened that led up to the eventual attack on Pearl Harbor. So, like I said, I'm going to be doing a blog post on this to probably better explain it, but these are some of the questions that Troy had come up with. I also had, there was a few other ones that I've already answered. I think he understands my position on a lot of things. So, I do appreciate the feedback. And if you do have feedback on this or any other show, if there's a show, something you'd like to hear in a future show, feel free to send, email to feedback@mikeboehler.com. That's MikeBoehler.com. I will certainly put it on the list. I do have a huge list. I did a rough estimate. If I keep going, I got at least 2-3 years worth of just the basic topics. And then one of the beauties of conspiracy theories is that they remake themselves after so many years. So I'm probably good for the next 10, 20 years. So hopefully I'm around for the next 10, 20 years. So I would like to thank everyone for listening. Thank you for listening to A Skeptic's Guide to Conspiracy. You can find my show notes and links to research material at MikeBoehler.com. That's MikeBoehler.com. Feel free to leave me feedback at feedback@MikeBoehler.com. If there's a conspiracy you're interested in or wish to contribute more information to this or previous topics, feel free to send that to research@MikeBoehler.com. A Skeptic's Guide to Conspiracy is a proud member of the Dumbass Media Network. Be sure to check out other great podcasts at dumbassmedia.info. Intro music is Unchained Tsarina from danosongs.com. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. Thank you. Good night.